Ezekiel chapter 22, and reading from the verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, that is the city of Jerusalem, Thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor raised upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And so there at the close of verse 29, we see the state that Jerusalem is in. But then verse 30, the Lord speaking through the prophet, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Amen. We'll end the reading there, knowing that the Lord does bless the public reading of his word. We will consider this evening this verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And so, in the remainder of the time this evening, we want to consider the gap and the hedge. But before we do that, let's just still our hearts very briefly and ask for the Lord's help as we come this evening to his word. Our Father in heaven, we do thank and praise thee for all that has taken place in this youth fellowship already. We thank and praise thee for these young people. We thank thee that they have an interest to be here, to be in the house of God. We praise thee that for so many of them, they can claim Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And what a blessing that is. But we pray this evening, as we are met around thy word for a few moments, that thou wouldst come and speak to every heart. We pray that there would be a word in season for everyone who's gathered in with us this evening, and that something would be learned. Most of all, we pray that our Saviour would be lifted, and that perhaps if there be any in our gathering outside of Christ, they will see their need of him tonight. I pray that thou wouldst help me. Give me strength, give me grace and courage. And it is my prayer that I would not do or say anything that would bring dishonour upon my Saviour's name. We do cry and desire that the Spirit of God would now be among us and move from seat to seat and heart to heart. For Christ's sake. Amen. As we said, we want to consider this verse 30 this evening, and we think about the gap in the hedge. And in doing that, we want to point out three very simple thoughts when we come to verse 30. The first thing we notice is the provision of God's hedge. We notice immediately as we come to verse 30, there is a hedge. It's completely natural as we come to this verse to ask the question, what is this hedge? What is God's hedge? What is being referred to? Now, we can consider hedges generally, fences, walls. What are they there for? And they go out round the boundary of property, out round the boundary of land. You have perhaps a fence or a wall around your garden, and everything that is inside of that wall belongs to you. It's your property. It is your responsibility to take care of everything within that boundary. You think about the farmer. He has a hedge around his fields, and all the crops that are inside of those fields are his responsibility. He must care for them. He must ensure that they're growing properly. If the farmer has livestock, all of the animals inside of those hedges, within that boundary, it's his responsibility to care for them. to provide for them, to protect them. And so we come to verse 30 and we see that God has a hedge. And he has a hedge about his own people. And that means he protects, he cares for, he provides for his own people. He looks after them. You and I who are Christians, we are his responsibility. He seeks to provide for us. The hedge here in verse 30 speaks of safety. It speaks of the blessing of God. Over in the prophecy of Zechariah, and we know that that is a book of many visions, we see a vision of things to come. And we see in one of the verses in chapter 2 of Zechariah that the Lord speaks of a time when Jerusalem will no longer need a hedge. A fence won't be needed. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about. And again, we see that picture. God providing a wall, God providing a hedge or a fence to protect his people. He's laying out the boundary before his people. He's saying, you stay within this boundary and I will look after you. But if you go outside of that boundary, you're in danger. And so we can see the hedge that is the blessing, this provision of the hedge that God has given the people here in Ezekiel 22. You ask the question, well, how is this hedge manifested? How do we see it in the lives of the people? In the history of Israel, we know that these people were taught by the Lord. We know that these people were instructed by God. They knew right from wrong. The Lord brought his word, his law to these people in a very special way. They were his chosen people. He spoke with them in a very special way. He gave them his laws. And so he put a hedge about them. He told them how they were to behave and how they were not to behave. That's a boundary. He says, you behave in this way, but you do not behave in that way. And that was a hedge of protection around his people. He was saying, if you stay within the boundaries that I have set for you, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. But if you go outside of that boundary, you're in danger. And so even through the teaching that the Lord had given the people, he was providing them with a hedge, safety. And that's the same for us today. We sit here as young people, and before us is the word of God. That's a hedge to us. It's part of the hedge that God has given. It shows us the boundaries. It shows us how we are to live as Christians. It shows us the things that we are not to do. And it's so clear that we must stay within the boundaries of God's word. Because that's where we ought to be. That's where there's safety and provision and blessing from the Lord. When we go outside of that boundary, danger. So the hedge is seen even in the teaching God has given his people. But even when we consider perhaps worship, you think about the children of Israel, you think about how the Lord dealt with these people. He gave them commandments. He showed them how they should worship him. All the rules and regulations were given for the priests, the rules and regulations for the temple. When they wandered through the wilderness, the rules and regulations for the tabernacle. These people knew how they were to worship God. The nations surrounding Jerusalem, they followed after idols. They were heathens. It seems that some of the practices they engaged in the name of worship were horrendous. But the Lord had given his chosen people a hedge. A hedge of protection. He told them how they should worship him. And because he told them, they could be safe. They were not in danger. They were not dishonoring the Lord. He told them. And that's the same today. We look around us and we see so many churches or parachurches popping up. And perhaps those churches are bringing hundreds or thousands of people into the congregations. And we think about what in fact, those churches are actually doing in the worship services. And what they're doing is not found in the Word of God. And the Lord has placed a hedge around his people. He's shown us the boundaries. What we should be doing in worship is found in this book. And if it's not found in this book, we don't do it. The Lord has given us boundaries to protect us, to keep us out of danger, to keep us from wandering astray. We can see provision even in the fact that the Lord provides leaders in the church. You think about these people in Ezekiel chapter 22. You think about the history of Israel. Time and time again, these people wandered astray. They got into sin. And time again, the Lord sent a faithful messenger. And when the people were engaged in all kinds of sin, Ezekiel was there. Or Jeremiah was there. A faithful man was sent to show the people where they were going wrong. There's a boundary. There's a hedge of protection. The Lord is taking care of his own people. He's sending his prophets and his messengers to tell the people where they're going wrong. To tell the people to get back within the boundaries. And again, that's the same today. We look in our congregations. We have those in leadership. Ministers. Elders. Youth leaders. All these different people who have been appointed. Authority in the church is given by God. And these men are solemnly charged with looking after us. Looking after our souls, caring for us. And that's all part of the hedge, that hedge of protection that God has placed around his people. And so we see the provision of God's hedge here in verse 30. But secondly, as we look at verse 30, we see there's a gap in God's hedge. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. So it's abundantly clear here, immediately as we come to verse 30, there's something wrong with this hedge. There's part of this hedge that has been broken down. And we come again with natural questions. Why is there a gap? How did this hole in God's hedge appear? And the answer is simple. It's sin. Sin. We were thinking about the farmer who places the hedge around his field. And he looks after all the animals that are within that boundary. The hedge is there so the animals cannot wander off. We all know what animals are like. They will go to the very edge of that boundary. They will go to the hedge. The grass will look greener on the other side. They will push against that hedge. They will lean and lean and lean until they have broken through that hedge. And we have seen that because we have driven on the country roads and we see sometimes the sheep, sometimes the cattle, they're in the middle of the road. And yet the boundary has been placed around that field. The animals are safe in that field. But when they cross that boundary, they're in danger. The next field does not belong to the farmer. Perhaps beyond the boundary is a busy road. And the animals, immediately when they leave that boundary, they're in danger. And so God has set a fence. He has set a boundary, a hedge about his people. But you know, young people, we see it all the time. We see individuals who profess to be Christians, and it's like they're always pushing the boundaries. They know what's right, they know what's wrong, but they're always seeing how far they can get. How close can I get to that boundary without actually committing sin? And their attitude's all wrong, and they're placing themselves in danger. And when the animal breaks down the hedge, he's in danger. And we as believers can be guilty of breaking down the Lord's hedge. We go too far. And we see here in chapter 22 that the hedge has been placed around God's people, but they have taken God's provision and thrown it back in his face. And they've said, no, we're going to embrace the sin. We've already commented in the awful idolatry that is detailed in this chapter, chapter 22. If we go back and look even at verse 9. At the close of verse 9 of verse 22, it says, in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. And if we were to continue on in those verses, we would see exactly what is meant here. We would see that the people were committing all kinds of awful sins. They were committing terrible sins. Physical relationships between men and women who were not married. They were getting into all sorts of things that they shouldn't have been near. And I know, young people, I have sat where you have sat. I have sat in youth meetings. And I have heard umpteen times the man at the front telling us to be careful in our relationships. But I have learned that individuals in the front have said that, and they have said it in love. They have said it because they care. They have said it because they have known other people who have crossed the line in a relationship and they can never get that back. They've made mistakes. And so before we move on this evening, I feel I must say, young men, keep yourselves for your future wives. And young women, keep yourselves for your future husbands. We look at verses 25 to 27 of Ezekiel 22. And we see that the leaders of the city of Jerusalem, the men who should be an example to the people, they too are embracing all kinds of sin. In 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raving the prey. And we see the prophets, and they're like on some kind of vicious attack on the people. And that's what false prophets will do. That's what false teachers will do, even in our day and generation. They will tell you all is well when all is not well. And so many of these large churches we're talking about, they tell you that if you simply pray a certain form of words, you pray a certain prayer, you'll be saved and everything's fine, and you go on living your life, and there's no mention of repentance. They're not faithful. They're not faithful to what's written in this book. They tell you what you want to hear, what makes you comfortable. In verse 26, we see her priests have violated my law. And the priests that should have been keeping things holy and clean and pure were doing the exact opposite. They were not taking their role the way they should. They were corrupt, and in their actions they were dishonouring the Lord. They were ignoring the plain laws of God, the rules that had been given for worship. And in verse 27, the princes as well, they're royalty, they're guilty. They're like wolves. They're going round shedding blood. They're bloodthirsty men. They're violent men. And one commentator looks at these verses. It speaks of priests and prophets and princes. And he says, these men who should have been holding up that hedge, they should have been an example. Well, they were rotten to the core themselves. And the hedge was broken down. And the people were getting out from the boundaries, and they're in danger. We think about standing in the gap. We think about this provision of the hedge in verse 30. We think about now that there's a gap in this hedge in verse 30. But as we finish this evening, we see the absence of God's servants. The absence of God's servants. Verse 30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And the first words and the last words of that verse are key. And I sought for a man among them, but I found none. There was nobody there. Nobody was going to take a stand. In the midst of all of this wickedness, no one was taking a stand. I remember when I was young, I would say about 5 years old, going to a friend's house. And I think there was four children in that home. And they were a farming family. And their home was on the farmyard. And one day they decided that they needed to move the cows from one field to another field. But because their home was on the farmyard, they did not want the cows on their lawn. They didn't want their lawn tore up. So they lined us up across the front of the lawn. There's five or six of us. My sister was there as well. My mother wasn't that bad. But we lined up across the front of the lawn. And we had to stand there. And if the cows came near us, we waved our arms and shouted. I was terrified. I was five and a townie. This was new to me. But we stood there, and that's what we did. We formed a human wall. We were a barricade. We prevented those cows from getting onto the lawn. That was our role. And in Ezekiel 22 and the verse 30, we've seen the sin of the land. The hedge has been broken, and there's no one standing in that hole. No one wants to form that barricade. The Lord could find no man faithful enough to take a stand. Now that's not to say there weren't people in Jerusalem at this time who were not engaging in those sins. I am sure there were people. The commentators are sure there are people in Jerusalem at this stage who were not guilty of these sins. But what the sense of this verse is that a real man couldn't be found. A man that was willing to stand up and be counted. A man that was willing to stand up and to say, what you're doing is wrong and I want nothing to do with it. What you're doing is bringing upon the judgment of God. No one was willing to stand up and be counted, to stand up for the Lord, to stand up for his cause. In this day when Jerusalem was engaged in all kinds of sin. Not only that, no man was willing to get before the Lord and pray for his mercy. No man was willing to go before the Lord and say, yes, this is Jerusalem. It's my city. They're guilty of all kinds of wickedness. But Lord, have mercy on them. No man was found even to pray like that. In Psalm 106, in the verse 23, we read of Moses. And we read in these words, this is speaking principally about the Lord, "Therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." And we can see the picture there. The people once again had gone away off into sin. And the Lord was going to righteously judge them for their sins. But Moses got before the Lord and pleaded for mercy. Moses stood in the gap. I wonder, are you willing to stand in the gap, young people? Whether it be in school, whether it be in university, whether it be in the workplace, whatever it be, are you willing to stand in the gap? Are you willing in the workplace amongst friends to say, "No, what you're doing is wrong, I want nothing to do with it"? To stand up and be counted, even though it's difficult. Maybe perhaps in the past you have stood in the gap, but in more recent days it's almost like you're going backwards and your courage is waning. Well, look at these words. Look at the challenge the Lord has given and run to him for strength, because he will provide it. Are you in your station? Are you taking your stand against the sins of this world? And are you getting before the Lord in prayer and seeking his mercy for this land? Because we all know we need the mercy of God in this land. Perhaps there are gaps you could be filling in your congregations. Gaps in the children's work. Gaps in the youth council. Gaps in the midweek meeting, the prayer meeting. Could you be at the prayer meeting, standing in the gap, filling that place, getting before the Lord and seeking his mercy for your community, for your family, for your friends, for your land? Oh, that it would never be said of anyone here, anyone that's in this meeting tonight, no man, no woman could be found to stand in the gap. As I finish this evening, we have considered the awful sin of these people, and the Lord could find no one to stand up and be counted. Now, as I consider that, I have to say I am so thankful that there was one who stood in the gap for me. You think about the truth of the Scriptures. You think about the whole plan of redemption. You think about the fact that we are fallen sinners that deserve to be punished. And Almighty God is holy and just and pure, and he cannot have sin in his presence, and there's this great separation between man and God. But there was one that stood in the gap. Jesus Christ, God the Son. He came to this earth. He took flesh upon himself. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again. He paid the price so that sinful man could once again be reconciled to a holy God. Oh, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own, that you can say he is your mediator, that on the cross of Calvary he was standing in the gap for you. He paid the price for your sin. He's your Savior and Lord. The Bible is clear. If you are to be a believer, you repent of your sins and you believe in Christ. Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. Even as we would consider as believers what Christ has done for us, he stood in the gap. May we ever be so mindful of our great responsibility to stand in the gap, even in this day, in this generation, in our communities, where the Lord has placed us to serve him.